Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. This is the standing edition of this show this week.
We're still trying sitting.
A little different. Yeah, Josh is too lazy to stand with the rest of us. So thanks again for joining us. Today, we're going to be answering some of your top Facebook questions. And who is with me today?
Oh, I'm Josh Mendelson, and today I am drinking a Sam Adams Latitude IPA.
I'm Kristen Curtis, and I am drinking a Ruby Mild from Sam Adams.
Mm. I'm Azure Collier, and I'm drinking an Angry Orchard Sinful Apple with too much cinnamon in it.
I agree.
It's still enjoyable.
Drinking the same thing, and I agree.
Sinful with a C or with an S?
With a C.
Yeah.
Catchy.
I'm Ryan Pinkham, and I'm drinking a Shipyard Pumpkinhead.
Yum.
Now make sure you enunciate that name.
Yeah.
Erica Ayotte, and I am just guzzling the Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee. Oh, come on. Everyone has their drug.
She didn't tell us what she has in it, so.
That's true.
So as I mentioned, today we're going to be answering some of your top Facebook questions. We recently had an advanced social media webinar that went really well, and something we thought would be a great opportunity to answer some of the questions we got during that session. So first up, Erica, here's a question that I think that would be great for you is, do you recommend an initial Facebook advertising campaign for a new business on Facebook? And are there any cost-effective campaign ideas that you have?
Right. So I would say if you're just starting off with your Facebook page, don't start with an advertising campaign. And here's why. You want to build up your organic following first, because when you do turn on an advertising campaign, the people that you're using, the people who will visit your page are much more likely to join it if there's already some activity there. So if you're starting up your page, invite your best customers via email and through all of the other channels that you have, whether that's in store or, you know, say you're on another social network. Then once you have a base of some followership and engagement, that's when you can start trying some Facebook ads. So as far as the second part of the question, campaign ideas. So the best thing to start off with, if you're just starting with Facebook ads, is to try a promoted post, or otherwise known as a boosted post. That means that you're taking a post that is a normal post that you've already posted and paying Facebook to get it in front of people that are beyond your page. So you're most likely getting in front of prospects. And there's a lot of different targeting methods that you can use to direct who sees that ad. But the most effective way to do it, if you've never done it before, start off small. I would say no more than $50 to run your first campaign and just see what happens. Try out some targeting. Play around with different types of posts. The posts that do the best from a boosted perspective are always the ones that look like more like an actual page post versus here's the creative. Here's the you know.
Don't make it look too good.
Yeah. Well, don't make it look like an ad. Like, don't take the same like stock photo and, you know, buy now message that you'd stick in a display ad and put it as a Facebook post.
The best advertising doesn't look like advertising.
Exactly. Exactly. So make it look like a regular post, but, you know, make it something that's valuable too. Have a link in it that drives back to your website or your blog or maybe even your email list.
I think you touched on something too with just in general, whether it's a blog or a Facebook page or even a Twitter account, you want to build up a little bit of what it's going to be before you start promoting it, so that people can go and they're seeing something that's more than a single post.
Right.
You know, so, you know, like pre-populating a blog is something I always like to do with three or four posts before you really invite people there.
Yeah.
So when they get there, it feels substantive.
So, Erica, you mentioned something about targeting too. And I think, you know, building up the page first makes total sense because in that realm, because one of the things you can do on Facebook, right, is target the friends of your current followers, right?
Right, exactly. So when it comes to targeting on Facebook, there's a lot of demographic, geographic options, but you can choose to target posts to people who have already liked your page. So you could do like special offer only for our Facebook fans, or you could specifically target people who have not liked your Facebook page, and that would be more of a prospect play. So you just have to decide what your campaign is about and what you want them to do.
Very cool. So one of the more recent developments with Facebook, of course, is that they've rolled out the use of hashtags that actually do work within Facebook now. Kristen, could you give us a little share some of the experiences we've seen or comments that we've seen around Facebook hashtags?
Sure. So we've actually tested it around big brands like ourselves, Constant Contact, as well as smaller brand pages. And what we've noticed is with a bigger brand like Constant Contact or Coke or Oreo or anything like that, it tends to actually decrease the reach and sometimes the engagement as well. And we've actually seen that throughout blog posts around the web as well. For smaller brand pages, though, I've actually seen a little bit of an increase in reach as well as in engagement. And I'm not 100% concrete on why that is, but I feel like Facebook may be penalizing larger companies for using hashtags because they're showing it to a bigger audience. So it could potentially...
So you think negative feedback might be having a larger
effect. Exactly. Got it. Whereas you don't get as much negative feedback because you have less reach in a smaller... brand.
Oh, interesting.
So that's my theory.
Facebook being tricky, as per usual.
Yeah.
But so I say, honestly, I just feel like test it with your audience, see how they feel, see what kind of engagement you get. I would say, one, make sure not to overuse it, and two, think about it more as a keyword. So what would your audience really be searching for if they were using Facebook as a searching tool? What word would they be looking for?
So that's the interesting part of this, I think, is the discoverability piece of it, right? I mean, how many people in this room, by a sound of eyes, because you can't see us raising our hands, but have actually used...
It's an audio medium.
Yes. How many people have actually used the hashtag on hashtag?
That's something else.
Clearly that's something else. Yes. Where do you find those on Facebook? Is the hashtag is how many actually... People have actually used the hashtag to discover more conversations going on around a particular
The hashtag. Only time I have is when I was using it for an event for somebody else that I was using their Facebook business page. And so I was looking to see if there was any more chatter around it, but not for my personal
I think
use.
That's really the big question. Are people going to actually start using them and accept them like they have on other social networks? Because, I mean, brands can use them all they want, but if people aren't, you know, embracing them and actually using them for what you want them to be using them, then that's not going to really help you, you know, get in front of a new audience. People aren't actually using it.
I think people will be slow to adopt them, but I think because hashtags are on so many other social platforms, including, you know, Twitter, Google Plus, I think LinkedIn used to have them, but they took them away. I think that was a bad move, but you're listening, LinkedIn? No. but I think, you know, almost every social platform has them, and they're just part of the vernacular now of being on a social network. So I feel like eventually we'll get there.
I do think it will take a while just because there are a lot of Facebook users who are only Facebook users. And so they don't utilize hashtags.
And even, I still think of it as a Twitter thing. You know, maybe I'll click on something or maybe I'll use something. But it also encourages cross-posting, which I hate. So
well, you see a lot of that with Instagram, too. Like, I don't care. I just don't go back and delete all that stuff before I post an Instagram photo. But that's where I've seen it the most. People just forgetting to take it off. So you could find photos if you wanted to do that.
Do you want to give a quick shout-out? To if anyone hasn't seen it, the Jimmy Fallon, Justin
hashtag
Timberlake
awesome.
Hashtag video is amazing. It's on Jimmy Fallon's YouTube channel.
We
it's
can
so
put a link
good.
To that, yeah.
Yeah, put that in the show notes.
You're welcome, Jimmy.
And Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake are popular now.
We did it, guys.
We did it.
Yay.
You're welcome. Anyway, so Azure. So one of the questions we always get around content, obviously, is what's the right mix of content to use? And especially when it concerns, you know, do we suggest using items that are more humor-related than business-related to keep people engaged? What are your thoughts around that?
Well, what we talked about in the webinar this week is your content should be 80% informational, useful, not selling, entertaining, and the other 20% should be about your business. Mm-hmm. So you need to get people engaged in a conversation first before you can start to sell to them.
Very cool.
Yeah, I would say, you know, when you think of the 80-20 rule, like Azure just described, it might seem like some of that 80 is fluff, but it's fluff with a purpose. And really that 80% enables the 20% of your content that's really about your business and, you know, maybe has some, you know, business calls to action to be able to be effective.
Yeah, I love to put it as if you're just meeting somebody and they don't know who you are and you go up to them and talk about yourself constantly, nobody's going to listen. But if you build that relationship first and then you say, hey, by the way, I own this business or whatever, they'll actually listen
to you. You should apply that to your personal life.
It's like, hi, Kristen, let's talk about me.
Yeah, exactly.
It also helps establish yourself as an expert, too. If you're not just, hey, buy my stuff, it's, you know, I know a lot about this industry or this area, so you can come to me for help, too. That's more helpful.
And really, the big important thing here is, I think, the value of social media, too, is that you really get a chance to listen and learn things about your followers and your customers and potential customers because you're able to have those conversations, right? I mean, that's kind of the big benefit is that if you're sharing information that people get engaged with and they comment on and do things, you're able to learn something, and that helps you when it does come time for you to promote something or do something. It helps you learn things there.
It also helps you learn who your most engaged customers are because you'll see a lot of people repetitively comment, and then you'll know that that's the kind of person that you want to target.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it also depends on what your brand is or what your social brand is even, you know, on whether it's 80-20 or whether it's a little bit less. You know, like some brands – will have sort of their master brand, but in social they take on a little bit of a different personality. Mm-hmm. So I think you just want to be consistent about
master brand. I kind of like that.
Yeah,
that sounds like a transformer. Like master brand.
It's a car now. It's master brand.
Well, moving on.
So I'm only at coffee today too.
Yeah. So Ryan, here's a question that I bet a lot of people run into. At least a lot of people with multiple locations, yeah, sure. Right? So what should they do if they're a small business with multiple locations? Should they set up separate Facebook pages for each location, or what's the deal here?
Well, I could probably give an equally frustrating answer to the problem. Is that you know, at first you'd probably say no, right? I mean, if you have multiple locations, chances are you're probably doing a lot of the same stuff in a lot of places. It's probably not necessary. Chances are you don't have the manpower or the time to manage that.
The woman power.
But at the same time, the woman power.
Thank you.
The other answer to that is it really depends, because if your locations are doing different things, different places, you have different menus, you're doing different specials, you're running different types of events, and it depends how far away these locations are. You may want to have different channels to interact with people. Mm-hmm. You may, example of this is Beloco in Boston. They have chains in Boston, all throughout Boston. They have a thing done in like Maryland now.
They just opened one in D.C.
D.C., but what they do is they have one Facebook page for all these places, but then their individual stores have their own Twitter handle.
Okay.
So they're kind of interacting with people in different ways, but the Facebook is kind of their main kind of corporate place where people
and
can
go. And so they'll call out specific things happening in different locations.
Right, exactly.
And Twitter is more of a customer service. Yeah. This is what's just happening at this location.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a lot of sense if you think about how the two platforms work. Remember, Facebook has an algorithm called EdgeRank.
Who's Algorithm?
Algorithm.
My Halloween costume.
So basically on Facebook, if you have too many different pages talking about the same brand, the same thing, they can kind of take away from each other and dilute your brand and dilute the power of that one big page because of that algorithm.
Yeah.
But on Twitter, generally speaking, more is more. People will follow many more different Twitter accounts than they'll ever follow different Facebook pages.
Yep.
And it's all about, you know, there's no algorithm in your Twitter newsfeed deciding like, oh, you tend to like this brand more, so we're going to show you more of this. It's all just about volume.
Yeah.
So I think that's actually a really smart approach.
The thing is, too, is you can also geo-target with Facebook a lot easier than you can with Twitter. So you can have that one brand, and then if you have a specific message to that specific location, then you could actually geo-target to that area.
Yeah.
Great point.
I think a big part, if you are going to use, you know, a different Facebook page or different Twitter handles, is to identify them as that. So make it clear that this is for this one. You know, do some sort of
branding. Boloco, Massachusetts.
Exactly. Choose a name that makes stands out. Choose a cover photo. Yeah. do those things, because if not, it can be easier for people to get confused. So if they're searching for you somewhere, they find you on Facebook, they say, hey, we're doing this special. They go to a location, they're like, oh, sorry, that was at the other store.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, you don't want to run them to those situations.
Right.
So if you are going to do it, exactly, that's not what you want.
Yeah.
Don't make me angry. Cool. So great advice there. All right. So LinkedIn, this seems to be one of the only social networks that is really for B2B professionals. What do you think, Josh? Is that true?
Well, I think it's the only one that's uniquely B2B. But I think B2B can play in any number of places. You know, I think there's just natural, it's almost like weird that we're still having this conversation years later, but you know, there's this reluctance for B2Bs to be on Facebook. But the fact is, that's where the people are. So if you happen to work in a business that buys from businesses, that doesn't mean you don't have a Facebook profile. It doesn't mean you're not on Twitter. It doesn't mean you're not on Google Plus. I can't believe I'm throwing in Google Plus. I've lost the battle. You know, I think LinkedIn is a really effective platform for B2Bs, but B2Bs can be effective anywhere as long as they're smart about what they're doing and they're appropriate. You know, maybe that 80-20 rule is a little bit different for a true B2B where they're not joking around as much. You know, they're treating it differently, but you can still use Facebook and Twitter as platforms.
Yeah, I think one of the things to really keep in mind, and I can't remember who said this, but I know someone did, is that it's really, you know, you really need to think about social as people to people, or just really just think about life that way, and maybe you'll do a whole right? Yeah.
Wow.
But it's about people connecting with people. It doesn't really matter, you know, if you're a B2B, B2C, someone somewhere is buying something is in the need of something that you could possibly provide. So
the other thing I think we should be clear about too is that when you're talking about using LinkedIn, you're talking about using LinkedIn as a company page for B2B, right? I think that regardless of who you are and what your business is, you should be using a LinkedIn profile for yourself, and you can use that to promote you, you know, regardless of what you do, you can promote your business and what you do on LinkedIn. Whether or not you have a company page, there's a different story, and B2B is certainly a natural fit, though I don't think it's the only one.
Yep. And then, I mean, there's this whole situation of, okay, how are you going to use LinkedIn, right? Because you could possibly use LinkedIn rather than a way to get new customers, but as a way to get new talent to your business, right? Absolutely. And really use it to focus on that type of thing. So I think it just really depends on what you're trying to do.
I think nonprofits can do a lot of LinkedIn too, where you know, it is about those one-to-one professional connections, but nonprofits are always looking for people with real skills to help them do what they do.
As opposed to fake skills.
Right. Well, sometimes it's great when someone wants to help, but they don't have the skills to help. You know, I think LinkedIn is a great place to sort of find people who can help you support your cause as well.
Yeah.
I think we have a dog in the office. She's a little distracted. I think for me, the best way to really utilize it is to be an individual and utilize groups and that kind of thing to build those relationships. Yeah. And then use your company page to be more of a thought leader and also that person to, if you're actually trying to recruit, they can go to your company page and see what your company is about and what you're kind of a thought leader on with the articles you're sharing and what you're saying, but you can absolutely use your individual page to go out and build those relationships and then bring them back to your company page.
And to that point, I remember what I was going to say now. And to that point, LinkedIn has become so much more of a content sharing platform than it was in the past. I mean, it's still, you know, a great place to find talent if you're looking for a job.
But they finally figured out the feed part of it.
Right. They figured out the feed part of it. And people are utilizing it much like they would Twitter or Google Plus, where they're sharing content either native to the platform or, you know, from other sources to stay top of mind with their networks. People are understanding that, you know, your contacts are, you know, one of the most important things that you have or the most important thing you have from a professional perspective. So
It's relationships, right? We talk about that all the time.
That's right.
Well, it's down to relationships. So last question, and probably your favorite question ever, Ms.
Oh, geez. This could be any number of things.
What is the most important?
What are you doing later?
What is the most important metric to measure success on Facebook?
Okay. We have an hour. Annoying answer. There is no one metric that is the best for all businesses everywhere. And I think there's a difference between metrics that you want to look at natively to the platform versus what are your overall business metrics and how does Facebook contribute or not contribute to those. So first of all, if you're looking at your Facebook metrics, also known as insights, it's native to the platform, you can put your metrics into three buckets, right? Mm-hmm. Page, post, and people. So the main level things that you want to look at are, all right, is your page following large and is it growing? And are people engaged? So you want to look at your engagement percentage relative to your audience. I think that's really important. You also want to look at how many people you're reaching. Because not only are you reaching the folks, not only could you be reaching the folks who have opted into your page and say, yes, I want to like your page, but if they're sharing your information, if they're talking about you and your business, then you could be reaching a viral audience. Mm-hmm. If you look at your stats, you might see the word viral. And all that means are people who are seeing your content but haven't liked your page because other folks are sharing it.
Right.
So I would look at that. And then also, if we're talking about business metrics, there's a huge variety of things that you can look at. If you go into your website analytics, you can see how much traffic Facebook is contributing back to your website. If you're running a social campaign, you can see how many email addresses you got from Facebook. So, you know, if people are opting into your Facebook page, try and move those folks to opt into your email list as well.
Absolutely.
You can run a coupon or host an event, and you can use this all by tracking, looking at the clicks on links, right? And so making sure that you are, the most important part of this is making sure that you set up your campaign to be able to measure this or your program metrics.
Right. Okay.
So think about what you want to measure first, and then set yourself up to go measure it. Because if you try and run a campaign and don't have in mind like what you want to track first, then it's really hard to go back and be like, I wish I could have seen X, Y, and Z.
Well, it starts with having that goal for what you're trying to do. What are your goals and what are the reasons you're doing the things that you're doing? So I think that's probably
the biggest key to all of this is don't focus on your followers or your fans and what your number really is. It's so much more about the engagement and the relationships as well as the engagement that you're getting to your website from your social platform. So a lot of people tend to focus on, are my fans going up?
Yeah.
But if your fans aren't engaging with you, if they're not seeing your stuff because your reach is low, then it doesn't really matter.
The total number of likes is a part of the story, not the whole story.
Right. Exactly. And let's not obviously, you know, size matters, but it's not everything. I'm not sure how to take that. but seriously, it is important. I mean, you want to get as many people as you can, but that doesn't mean go after the most relevant followers, not just, you know, any followers at all. So right. if someone's following your page and, you know, a lot of people mistakenly use advertising and they pay for followers who aren't relevant to them, right. will never buy, aren't going to convert, and that is a waste of money.
Right. So at the end of the day, the metrics that matter most are your business metrics.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's also important to go beyond the numbers, too. I mean, you can look at how many comments a post got, but read the comments. Did they like it? Did they not?
It's a qualitative.
What did they say? Yeah.
Exactly.
When it comes to growing your fans, I mean, again, like we talked about before, it really starts with going to the people who already know you, hopefully like you and want to be interact with you. So putting it on your website, making sure you're sending out emails to people, letting them know, encouraging people to like you, because that's going to be your best audience, and they're going to help introduce you to the people that you want to reach next.
Yeah.
Right. And to that point, Ryan, I think that don't think that every single customer or every single prospect is going to like your Facebook page. There's, you know, Facebook is a really noisy place. Yeah. It's okay. You want to shoot for a good percentage, maybe 25%, 20%, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Facebook helps you uncover your best customers, not necessarily all of your customers.
Right.
So it's also a quality control. So look at it with that lens.
Right. Something to think about across all of your networks, right?
Exactly.
Not everybody's going to be there, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Focus on the ones that are.
You're not a failure if you don't have a million Facebook fans.
Yeah. Great. Well, that's all we got for you this week. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Bye-bye now.